Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
To go. 610.
Well, let's get started. Show number 992. Is that right? We only have 8 shows left to 1,000?
Yes. Remember, our big one's coming up.
I need to do some math here. I have to get it right so I can take the rest of the month off. Top 6 at 6 shortly, but before we get to that, let's begin with the great Alex Stone live from... Well, I guess your approach to Mexico City, right? Are you guys still on the way?
Yeah, we're still on the way. We're quickly moving along a freeway here as we make our way toward Mexico City. And overnight, Steve, we've been getting new numbers as we were making our way in. And as of this morning, 217 people have been killed so far. But that number's been going up, and they think it will probably continue to go up. A number of buildings have just completely crumbled in Mexico City and elsewhere. Overnight, a primary school, 21 students, their bodies found inside that school, 4 teachers as well. There are more students who are missing in that school, and still so many buildings that have to be searched in.
Alex is in a high elevation, but still you could imagine some cell towers were affected, and we anticipated that his phone might go in and out, and it appears we may have lost him completely here, but we'll hang for a second. The incredibly ironic thing here is that yesterday was the 30th anniversary to the day of the biggest quake that Mexico City has had, and there were earthquake drills 2 hours before the quake. Alex, can we assume that those earthquake drills probably saved some lives?
Yeah, potentially, and hopefully you can hear me now, Steve. Yep. As we're making our way through here, we're in kind of no man's land, as you can imagine. Communications just in general here in Mexico aren't great right now, but yeah, 32 years to the day. Yesterday was the anniversary of the deadliest quake in Mexico history. Thousands of people died in that one in 1985, and to commemorate that and to look toward the future, they hold every year earthquake drills on that date, and that's what they did. On the 19th of September, they did that yesterday morning, and then they had this quake, this 7.1. May have saved lives because they had gone through that. We don't know, but they had done the earthquake drill just hours before.
I know you probably haven't had a chance to talk to seismologists about this, but there was a SoCal quake. There was a Southern Illinois quake all within hours of each other yesterday. And I know they're not on the same tectonic plates, but any connection at all?
You know, they don't know. In fact, we have asked Dr. Lucy Jones, formerly of the USGS, a world-renowned seismologist, and she was saying that they don't know if the quake not too long ago here played any role in this one. But bottom line, it's two powerful quakes. Now, there's about a 5 to 10% chance that there will be another large earthquake as a result of this, something larger than a 7.1. Not a great likelihood, but there is that likelihood that something bigger will strike.
Alex, the images and the photos are just heartening. Supplies, obviously, not at the point where you can get supplies even there, but the roads wiped out, so the workers and the rescue crews can't even get to some of these people.
Well, very much so, and we would expect that there are going to be crews coming in from other countries. There very well could be the task forces out of Virginia and out of Los Angeles that do respond to these types of earthquakes, that you've got buildings that just completely gave way. And it's just piles of concrete and brick now. And overnight, people going silent, asking everybody to be quiet on those sites to listen for any survivors that might be calling out for help. And unfortunately, in many cases, they heard nothing.
Having said that, Mexico City is a big, modern city with probably some of the best regulations, if there are those, out of all the construction places you can build in Mexico. So you hope for survivors. And in earthquakes like this, folks can survive if they have access, obviously, to air and water over the course of even several days, right?
Yeah, and on the building side of things, there are more modern buildings, but even some of those sustained major damage. And this was a powerful quake, but there's a big difference between those that are made out of adobe and out of brick versus those that are much more modern buildings. And that's definitely being seen here in Mexico right now.
Now, where you live in Southern California, are you Southern California or Northern California?
Southern California.
Yeah, where you live, there's very strict regulations on how you build a new building. Do we know if Mexico City adopted any of that?
Yeah, they have in some, and in fact, they lead the way in some of that. But it's a massive city, and just like if an earthquake were to hit in Los Angeles or in San Francisco, you've got newer buildings and older buildings, and the older ones aren't necessarily right up to the same code that the newer ones are. And so you do see some of the older buildings that have gone down. But in this case, it's both. There are newer and older buildings that definitely have damage here.
With the amount of people in that city, and they're cramped, it's a packed city, and the strength of that quake, there's no question the numbers are going to go up. You just got to hope for the best.
Yeah, and they don't know how high they will go up. At 217 right now, they've been revised. They keep going up, coming down a little bit, then going up more. And unfortunately, the concern is they're going to go way up. Hopefully nowhere close to the thousands from the 1985 quake, but they just don't know. This is still so fresh and just happened, and still all of these rescues going on.
Well, I'm glad you're there because there's nobody better to tell the story, so I hope we can check back with you.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Alex Stone on the story of Mexico City. All right, 6:16. Let's do. You want to do traffic, then we'll do the top six? Do traffic, then we'll do the top six at six in just a moment. Mary.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Saw Lourdes Duarte yesterday. I was over at Channel 9 for a bit.
Did you guys make up?
Well, listen, I told her in no uncertain terms that just because she's a big shot 4 o'clock superstar anchor now doesn't mean she can blow us off.
You said it just
and
like
she
that.
Said, and you are? But, Dave, I put in a good word for you with Paul Rennie, the general manager there. He was a great guy.
We like Paul. Dave knows Paul, though.
Well, I told Paul, I said, listen, Dave is not going to put up with any of your nonsense. Yeah. So I hope that helps.
I'm sure that goes a long way.
Yeah. No.
I do know Paul, and he's a very good guy.
I just appreciate the fact that you've committed his name to memory this time. It's not something you normally do.
No, it's not the
Channel
name.
9
it's not the name, Steve.
It's the person.
It's the face.
Yes, okay, that's it.
That's even better.
And Dean, talked to Dean for a bit. And it's the first time, even though the studios went up in May, it's the first time I've seen the new studios. They're great.
Aren't they great?
It's just something else.
Beautiful.
There's a reason they look so good on TV.
Yeah, state of the art. Gorgeous.
You know, Larry Potash, I don't know if you guys know this, and Paul's going to be on later. Paul will be the first one to tell you, Larry's hideous, but the lighting in there just makes him look so sexy.
Does look good.
All right, moving on. Top six at six. Paul Manafort is under investigation of the highest order from the Mueller group. The investigation goes back 11 years. 11 years. And also may have gone far more than into the deep spring of this year. So whether Mueller is trying to squeeze, let's use NYPD blue terms here, trying to squeeze Manafort to get more out of the Trump side of the equation, we don't know. But Manafort appears to be in a great deal of trouble, and none of his attorneys are responding to the Mueller request for information. An indictment is pending, and honestly, an indictment feels like it could be imminent. Puerto Rico is dealing with Hurricane Maria this morning, and part of Puerto Rico is already dealing with landfall. It's bad. It's very, very bad. CNN has one of the reporters on site that's dealing with 170-mile-an-hour winds in the structure that he's in. Residents preparing for this catastrophic storm, the strongest hurricane to hit the island in almost a century. And there's nothing you can do but ride it out at this point. The scary number was, as of this morning, they had only reported, and there's 3.5 million people on the island, they had only reported 11,000 people in shelters.
Mm-hmm. It seems extremely low.
Right?
Very low, yes.
So there's got to be empty shelters all over, and a lot of times the shelters that are used are school buildings and other concrete structures that can put up with it. But I can't think of the CNN reporter's name that's on duty there. We'll figure it out and give him credit. But he had reported 175-mile-an-hour winds outside the building he was in.
I think the fear, too, is that they have thousands of people hunkered down in their homes, which that's obviously not going to help much with 155-plus mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah, wood structures aren't going to hold up to that.
No.
Next. last-ditch push to repeal the Affordable Care Act underway in the Senate and now being pushed for a vote as soon as next week. Republicans are pressing for that. The latest bill, authored in part by Lindsey Graham, would undo much of the health law and send money to the states with vast discretion on how to spend it. You know, we've had a lot of talk here about block grants and whether or not block grants are a good or a bad idea. These block grants that would be sent to states who are hurting for money would be a big problem because it wouldn't necessarily be spent to ensure that you would get proper care, to ensure that you could keep your own doctor, to ensure that pre-existing conditions would be covered. All the holes that everybody is concerned about. 11 governors, including 5 Republicans and an independent, have urged the Senate to reject the bill. And last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Jimmy Kimmel on tape, Jimmy Kimmel, whose child nearly died and who took the word of a senator who appeared on his show in what now appears to be a publicity grab, who is the co-author of the bill with Lindsey Graham. Well, Jimmy Kimmel went after him. Listen.
A senator named Bill Cassidy from Louisiana was on my show, and he wasn't very honest. He listed his demands for a health care bill very clearly. These were his words. He said he wants coverage for all, no discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, lower premiums for middle-class families, and no lifetime caps. And guess what? The new bill does none of those things. These other guys who claim they want Americans to have better health care, even though 8 years ago they didn't want anyone to have health care at all, they're trying to sneak this scam of a bill they cooked up in without an analysis from the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office. They don't even want you to see it. Healthcare is complicated. It's boring. The details are confusing. And that's what these guys are relying on. They're counting on you to be so overwhelmed with all the information, you just trust them to take care of you. But they're not taking care of you. They're taking care of the people who give them money, like insurance companies. And we're all just looking at our Instagram accounts and liking things while they're voting on whether people can afford to keep their children alive or not. I never imagined I would get involved in something like this. This is not my area of expertise. My area of expertise is eating pizza, and that's really about it. And by the way, before you post a nasty Facebook message saying I'm politicizing my son's health problems, I want you to know I am politicizing my son's health problems because I have to.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's absolutely right, though. The information is so overwhelming. If you look at just some of the tiny little things, when you take Medicaid out of the equation, it gets rid of the reimbursement to insurance companies who give us price breaks on copayments.
And that's what makes it long, tedious, detail-oriented, and boring to most people. And if you check out and you don't get involved, this is what happens. So good for him for calling out Ted Cassidy, who as of this morning has not responded. Next. Elite college football players who were charged in the hazing incident have been suspended from the team. No surprise there. The question is now, where will the criminal part of this go, and will they even stay in school? They are in a lot of trouble as well. President Trump doesn't drink. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. President Trump doesn't drink, but decided to make an exception yesterday when he toasted the, quote, great, great potential of the United Nations. You're going to do things that will be epic, and I certainly hope you will, but I feel very, very confident. And then he appeared to take a sip of wine. We don't, in fact, know what's in the cup. I would just like to appeal to the president who listens every morning. Oh, my God, please don't become a drunk. You're enough trouble sober. Please don't start drinking.
Although, no.
I mean, unless you're going to drink to the point where you pass out until 2020, please. Please don't drink.
And can you make an appeal to no drunk tweets?
Oh, can you imagine? Oh. Even the part of me that really enjoys the material says, no, you can't do that. And finally, maybe the coolest story that I've seen in 24 hours, and there's a lot of news out there, is this. Peanut Tillman, Charles Peanut Punch Fumble Tillman, is in training to become an FBI agent.
That's so cool.
I love this.
Isn't that a good story?
So cool.
And he just makes the age requirement, too. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a very cool. I think about a second career for a guy. We know how smart he is.
Right.
And how well-spoken he is. And we also know that, well, he's a tough guy. I think you go walk into a room and you're, you know, a perp, as we call him, Dave, in the law and order business. Mm-hmm. And Peanut Tillman's there to ask you some questions. You're probably going to tell the truth.
You probably would. Mm-hmm. He was a criminal justice major in college.
Even better, right?
And
Mom, look, I'm finally following your dream.
Look, this guy was terrific on television. He was doing TV last year,
But this is what he really wants to do.
I think it's very cool.
It is very cool.
Could he pass the swimming test and the mace test, though? That's the thing.
Well, and the mace test, is that where they shoot you in the face?
No, yeah, they shoot you in the face with mace.
Yeah.
Steadily for, I think, about 30 seconds. It's not just a ch-ch.
Right, and you have to be able to recover.
Can you cover your face?
No, you can't. Have to take. You can take your contacts out.
Oh.
Right.
Well, that's nice.
But you have to do it because it's supposed to show, okay, what happens if you get maced in the face by a suspect.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's flavored.
Like cinnamon.
Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, and that's your top six at six.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
6:38, Karen Conti, attorney at law, joins us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I want to get Andrea and Sandberg and Vandeveld all involved in this. There's a viral photo that's floating around that has five women at a wedding all wearing the same dress, and they're not the bridesmaids.
Oh.
Have you seen the picture, Karen?
I have not seen a picture.
Is this a disaster, or is this because they look like they had a great time with it? You know, they all took a picture together. They were all laughing. I mean, I think if you see another woman in your dress, my understanding is, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because not being a girl, I wouldn't know. Because, you know, a lot of guys will wear the same suit. I don't know if you ever noticed that about us. But is it a big problem if somebody else shows up in your same dress, Andrea?
I don't think so. I mean, I would say at first, if I saw Mary wearing my dress, she obviously would wear it better than I would. But I would say, oh, Mary, we have the same dress, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then move on. I wouldn't lament on it, I don't think.
I think that if one person had my dress on, I might be a little salty. But when there's five of us, then it becomes humorous.
It's got to be funny at that point.
It's not the prettiest dress either, I have to say.
No, it's not.
Not to be kidding.
You guys have seen the picture?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have chosen that dress.
It's a little lacy.
Well, given my competitive nature, the only inquiry would be, do I look better in it than everyone else?
But of course you would.
Is that what all women think? How do I look compared to the other person?
You know, my sister's dog fashion show last week at the Peninsula, my sister, our friend Kate, her friend Tracy, our friend Carrie, and our friend Susan all were in navy lace dresses. Like, they looked
very
like they were
similar.
Part of a bridal party, yeah. And I was in, like, a bright blue dress, and I almost wore a navy dress, and I thought, thank God I didn't wear navy because I don't want to look like a sheep.
So if you want to see the picture, we'll post it at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook.
So funny. Is there no other store in this area?
I know. That's
well, it's not
so
a unique
bizarre.
Dress.
And they all look like the same age, too.
Actually, I said five. There's six women. They do look the same.
Six.
I think now you're probably not familiar with this, Steve, but on social media and things, they have what they call these influencers, these like fashion bloggers and things that wear clothes.
Like Dave.
Yes. And he puts on an Under Armour outfit probably, and then he posts the picture and he's like, get the details here. And it's like to know it, I think, is the website where so everyone gets like knows where to get the same stuff. So they're pushing the same stuff to all of us.
So there's a better chance this will happen. Then.
I think so. Okay. Because they look so cute. They're like on a vacation and they tell you, oh, you want this dress. And it's on sale at Nordstrom right now.
I was embarrassed a couple days ago. I saw a guy on a golf course wearing shorts and a golf shirt like me. And I was like, what?
Did you rush home to change?
I wonder if Mike has run into that at any of the weddings he's been to, if he's been in the same outfit.
Well, that's what I mean with guys. You never have a conversation with guys where two guys in dark blue suits are going, seriously, dude, could you have called me?
Right.
No.
Actually, last year at the Arlington thing with Orion,
Mike and I were
you
dressed
and Mike
alike.
Were dressed like twins.
Yeah, well, physically we're very similar. Yes.
I was actually dressed exactly like all the groomsmen in the last wedding I was in.
Oh,
gray
so you
suit, purple
up.
Tie. I could have just, and there was 10 of them.
You could have stepped in.
By the way, is that excessive? 10 people standing up?
Yes.
And there was only
yes.
8 girls.
The answer is yes. Yes.
8 girls.
Yes.
So it
yes.
was uneven.
Yes, it's
Can
very.
I say my daughter. Ushers. My daughter did have 10, and it was way too many.
It's too many.
It was her decision, but it was way too
many. I mean,
many.
What is she thinking? I told her no more than 5.
I said there's going to be more drama. More drama. And a girl.
It's so many. Oh my God.
At 6:43, you might be wondering, 6:42, what does F this have to do with the law? Nothing. All right, so there's a couple things we need to discuss, but first thing, I wanted to know if you, with all your world travels, know folks in Puerto Rico or Mexico City you're worried about this morning.
I really don't. And boy, these natural disasters just keep coming. You just have to wonder, is something causing them? Is it Korea, or is it just a coincidence? But it just seems like there's way too many.
Well, we don't have to worry about North Korea because President Trump's going to wipe out the entire country. I don't know if you heard. All right, so we had this terrible story last week of this young girl goes to a party, parties too much, somehow ends up in a freezer at the Crown Plaza out in Rosemont and dies. Since then, the video of the woman stumbling around was released by the hotel, I assume, with the family's permission. And it doesn't really show or prove anything. You covered this story, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, we were actually out there the very first day when this deceased woman's sister, called Channel 9, and then her mom had called Channel 2. So it was myself and the other reporter from 2 still trying to figure out what was going on. And the mom, Teresa Martin, was very vocal, wanted to be in front of the cameras and tell her story, which is understandable. She was grieving. She was upset. She wanted some answers. And that's how this whole thing blossomed.
So what does this mean for the hotel? What does this mean for the family, Karen?
Well, obviously, we don't know all the facts yet. So once those are in, there may be some additional facts. But generally speaking, these freezers can be very dangerous. And there's been OSHA violation sightings for these things. I mean, when you go in there, it's obviously very cold. Sometimes there's carbon dioxide coming off dry ice, so there are some toxic fumes in there that could be present. The floors can be very slippery because of the condensation. And unless there's a very present and a very obvious release bar, it could be that she just couldn't figure out how to get out of there. So she's young, she's intoxicated, she's freezing, she's never been in a freezer before. And it could be that she just didn't know how to get out of there.
The thing I don't understand is how did no one in the kitchen see her?
There was no one in the kitchen. It was a
second kitchen, or it was a kitchen that was not being used. Right. And it seemed like sort of not a completely isolated area, but it wasn't an area that was occupied by a lot of people, even at that time. So
would that door to that normally have been open, or we don't know yet?
We don't know. But as you know, in hotels, if you've ever wandered around hotels, they leave conference rooms open. They leave things open.
Yeah,
it's not unusual that this would be open to people walking through there. And so the question is, does the hotel have an obligation to foresee that perhaps a person could be wandering and go into that freezer? And, that's a big question. And it's because there are a lot of ifs here. She was intoxicated. She wasn't in the place she was supposed to be. But certainly you don't think that if you go into a freezer, you're not going to be able to come out.
Karen, question about releasing the videos. When they did release the videos to the public, you can clearly see her. She is alone, whether she was alone the whole time she's walking through the hallways, but had a hard time standing up, leaning up against the railings, wobbly. When they release those videos, who is that up to? I mean, do they have to release those? And is now that going to taint any sort of a prospective jury in a civil suit if the parents file it?
It's up to the police to do that, and they have different considerations. They don't want to impede an investigation, but I think the release here would not impede an investigation. It might help people maybe try to piece together what happened. And I think out of just the outcry from this case, because there was all this outcry that this was unfair and they're hiding things, so I think the police, for just purposes of appeasing the public, did release those. So, but there's no hard and fast rule. As we know with the Laquan McDonald tape, because we didn't see that until much, much later.
What responsibility do the hotels have to manage drunks?
Well, they do have a responsibility because people that come to hotels will drink and eat and carouse and do those kinds of things. Now, here, I don't think that the alcohol that she consumed or whatever she consumed was served by the hotel. I think it sounds like they were all in a room partying and they were providing their own alcohol. So there's no dram shop liability. But again, it's the same with Erin Andrews. If there is a crime that goes on, is the hotel responsible? Usually not, unless the hotel had a part in creating the risk, or if there was a known risk of rape or abduction or whatever. So in this case, I would say, let's just say that people are partying in a hotel. Is it reasonably foreseeable, those are the words, that someone could walk into this unused freezer and not be able to get out? And that's a question that a jury would have to decide.
We don't know who is in the room with her per se, do we?
They had more than 30 people at one point in that room. At least that the police said that they interviewed 30 people who at one point were inside of that room where they were hosting this party.
The obvious assumption here is who in their right mind lets somebody that drunk leave the room? Having said that, if you have 30 people jammed into a hotel room, you don't know who's in the room and who's not.
Right.
She could open the door and leave at any time on her own.
And that's got to be some sort of rule violation or infraction, does it not, Karen?
To have that many people in a room, probably. And again, you know, all of these things are going to come up. But then the other point is going to be contributory negligence, meaning, yes, maybe the hotel should have provided better security, should have monitored these kids. They're not kids, but they're young people. And maybe the security cameras should have been watched. I don't know if that was a standard practice to just have security cameras, or was there someone there actually watching all of the different televisions to make sure that the place was safe? Were there other incidents like this would be a very important question.
Right.
Did someone go into a freezer and not be able to escape? That happens all the time, and then they fix it. So all these questions are going to be asked, but the bottom line is there's probably going to be some contributory negligence because of her intoxication level. Oh, you know, apparent. I mean, we don't know exactly, but it looks like she was.
And a big building like a hotel, there's reasons to leave conference rooms and various things open, you know, cleaning crews going in and out and things of that nature. I suppose you could have, you know, digital locks on every door, but I don't know. I don't know the hotels are going to go to that. It's not like this happens every day, but if it happens once, it's too many.
Right. And again, we go to the standards. Was there a policy and procedure in place for hotels in general? Was there a policy at that hotel to do certain things? You know, what was their policy to find missing persons? And this is another question. Once she was determined to be missing, do we know that the hotel, if they had found her more quickly, would they have found her and saved her? By the time they reported her, would she have already been dead or not? So that's a whole other layer of what did they do after she was reported missing.
What's the hotel's responsibility, Karen? The mom was telling reporters that she went and asked where her daughter was, and she went back three times, and on the third time, that's when they called the police because she and her family were going door-to-door knocking on the door saying, "Have you seen my daughter?" That's when the police stepped in and they found her a few hours later.
Well, again, it's what's reasonable. You know, I don't have a hard and fast answer for you. Calling the police, you know, probably something that they would hesitate to do right away because there are people who wander around and they're intoxicated, and so you don't want to alarm the whole hotel. On the other hand, there's security guards there who probably should have been pitching in if they weren't. And so did they take all reasonable actions to try to find her once she was determined to be missing? That would be the question.
Yeah, because the point of the security video is to see things that aren't supposed to be going on, so you would think there would be a system where they could call that up fairly quickly. And if a panicked parent calls and says, "I don't know where my kid is," I would think standard protocol would be to look at the video.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the question is, how fast do those things happen? You know, and is there a person designated to be there to take that call? And I would guess, Steve, that in the future we're going to have a procedure in place that would move very quickly in these kinds of things.
I think obviously all this has to be looked at, but I just don't know how the hotel can be held liable for all of this in a world of free will. And frankly, hotel guests, you know, you see a drunk stumbling down the hallway, most people don't want to get involved and they just walk away.
Right.
Well, at the bare minimum, don't you go up to the front desk and go, "Look, there's a girl back there that is, you know, sideways.
Could barely stand." That was the saddest part of the video, too. You don't see people walking through the hallway, but you have to assume at some point there were people there.
Somebody had to.
Not one person saying, "Are you okay?
Yeah.
Can I help you?"
Yeah. I don't know. It's a sad story, beyond sad.
And that's one of the things that I want to say is that I see all the time people coming into my office, mostly women, young women, who have been, had a date rape drug put into their beverage at a very nice establishment. It happens all the time, and someone wakes up a couple of days later, and they don't know what happened. And, you know, if you're out with friends, stick together. I always say, Noah's Arks, 2x2, especially on college campuses, especially, you know, when, you know, someone says belligerently, I don't need to be with you. I can go off on my own, or I can go home by myself, or I'm going with this friend. No, you stick with somebody. You go out with somebody, you come home with somebody. And I think we should all tell our kids who are in college that's the rule.
6:52. Thank you, Karen Conti. When are you on again?
I'm on with Brian Noonan from 8 to 9 on Sunday.
How's the overthrow of that show going? Are you going to take it over? What do we know?
I'm hoping.
All right. So really, it's like a government coup. Thank you, Karen. And let's do traffic first. Here's Mary, and then we'll come back and do more.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Dave, your dog got skunked.
Got skunked last night.
So you did what we all would do in that case. You got a new dog.
And I took him back to Dogs R Us in exchange.
Right. Well, see you later.
Ozzy's going to be okay. The skunk got him, didn't get him full blast.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the mistake of then picking him up.
I wondered what that was.
It's a formidable scent.
I thought maybe.
I'm warning you guys.
You stink.
Dave was wearing a little sex panther this morning.
Stings the nostrils.
Maybe a new cologne.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different around here this
it's
morning.
It's a little nasty.
And I'm going to be honest with you, that smells like pure gasoline.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell?
Jordan Goodman standing by. By the way, that odor from Dave just went away yesterday.
Yes, indeed.
Took about a year. How's Ozzy now?
He's fine. At night, I take him out on a leash, and my head's on a swivel. I'm looking everywhere for this.
Not going to have that problem again.
Whatever.
So let's go live now to Mary for Skunk Talk. You've been married to your husband, Steve, how long?
32 years.
And did you know he was nuts before this incident?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Pretty much. Dealt with other critters before.
So what did he do?
Well, these skunks are everywhere, and everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. So last night, we're eating our pulled pork sandwiches for dinner, and he looks out the window, and he's like, oh, my God, the skunk just went into the garage. I go, what? Well, there's this skunk that's been hanging around, you know, the neighbor's yard.
Nothing but trouble.
Yeah. So it's in our garage. Our garage door was open, and it goes under my car, my Subaru. So I am freaking out because I'm the first one into the garage in the morning, and I do not want to be dealing with Mr. And why does a skunk go into a garage? There's no food in there.
Probably going looking for tools.
What?
Right.
I don't know. So the skunk's in there. So he gets out the remote for the car.
Oh, the skunk or your Steve?
Steve.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Steve gets the remote and he turns the car on remotely.
Trying to scare the skunk
out. Yes. So here it comes. The skunk comes scurrying out, whips across to the neighbor's yard and goes in underneath his shed. So he's got a house under the shed. He's got a little, you know, compartment and a little big hole he dug. So now we know where he is, but...
It's Skunk Acres. It's where all the skunks live.
A lot of critters have lived underneath this shed.
Oh, boy.
Various neighbors, a lot of people have lived in this house over the years. And we had a hedgehog one year.
Sounds like you got neighbor trouble.
Yeah. So anyway, the skunk. So in the meantime, he gets out the marshmallows because the marshmallows, he thinks they'll go eat them. And then he gets the pellet gun going so he can scare them to go eat the marshmallows, and then he'll scare them with the pellet gun. I'm like, oh, brother.
Wait a minute. So he wants to now hunt the skunk?
Yes, so now he's going to hunt
the
skunk.
What is he, Elmer Fudd?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is what I deal with.
I don't think that's a good idea because if you hit...
He's not going to kill it.
I know, but if you don't hit the skunk, you're going to anger him, and you know what happens when you anger a skunk.
Yeah, well, that's his problem.
What is the spray? Well, let's go live to Dave on this. How far away from the skunk do you have to be for the skunk to hit you?
A skunk can spray you from 30 feet away.
30 feet.
Yes. Ooh.
And then if you bring that in the house, you have to replace the curtains and the carpet.
You have to replace the house.
Yeah.
And his aim is going to have to be pretty good then from 30 feet away.
Let's go live to Mary's Conscience on this. But Mary's Conscience, I'm not hearing you, Mary's Conscience.
He's troubled. It's a troubling thing.
Mary's Conscience, are you with me? No. No, we don't have Mary's Conscience. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, because I'm beside myself. Don't know what to do.
Yeah, you don't know what to say.
It's beyond words.
I would say
does anything work around here? Here we are.
Okay.
I mean, geez, this place is falling apart.
So, Mary's Conscience, what are your thoughts on Steve's actions?
Well, first of all, how does he know that they like marshmallows? Have you ever heard?
I don't know. He did his skunk research, apparently.
And maybe they're more into Rice Krispie treats in general.
Yeah. And second, he starts the car. It could have scared the skunk. Sprays the car. Car smells for months.
That's a good point, Conscience.
Well, that is
what am I going to do? Put tomato sauce in there?
You know what's really weird is the skunk starting to sound like a little New York and a little more like Mike.
And I'm not going to lie. I mean, the pulled pork was a little cold.
It was leftover, too.
All right, so he gets out the pellet gun and the marshmallows in some effort to twack the wabbit. Then what happened?
I don't know. For all I know, he's still sitting there.
Oh my God. Well, what time was this when he went skunk
hunting? I had to go somewhere last night, and I'm like, I'm getting out of here. This is too weird. I don't want the neighbors like calling me. You know, Steve sitting out there with his pellet gun right. and his marshmallow bag. I don't know.
I just don't think you want to anger the skunk.
Well, the skunk will tell the other skunks.
Right.
And then they're it's going to be a gang of skunks hiding out in your garage waiting for you to go to work.
How do you think I felt this morning when I had to go in the garage and start my car?
Oh,
I was freaking out. And I did use the remote just because I thought, oh, boy, if he's going to come barreling out of there. And he's not a little skunk. He's a big fatty.
Is a group of skunks called skanks?
No.
No. It's like a gaggle?
No, that's a bar thing.
Okay.
Totally a different thing.
Can we all agree, though? There have never been this many skunks around.
Yes, they're everywhere.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't counted them, but I have seen more.
No, I mean,
skunks have been around a long time, Dave.
No, this many, where you can't drive down a highway anywhere.
Oh, and how bad is the skunk census job, where you got to go in and count them? Oh.
You think they're rising up and plotting against them?
Can I add something to the mix, too? Oftentimes, a certain drug is confused for the smell of skunk. Maybe there's a little bit of that going on.
I think it's a lot of that. Yep, I smell a lot of that.
I think so. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
No offense, Mary. Not that your husband's.
You know, Dave, you traveled
to
Colorado a lot after getting skunk. Do you believe that maybe there's some link there? Colorado being a weed state.
No, I hadn't really thought about that. Thanks to Andrea for making that connection.
Just
do you think maybe the skunks are attracted to the skank smell of the pot? Maybe that's why they're coming closer to humans, because they think the smell that's coming from our homes.
Our.
What do you think? Well, our is the collective our.
You and Dave.
Yeah.
So if you see like a pothead followed by a skunk, you know, it's just a skunk going, hey, dude, where's mine?
Well, the skunk would be bouncing like Pepe Le Pew after the boing, boing, boing,
well,
boing.
That would actually explain the marshmallows.
It would.
What?
It would.
It all the munchies for the marshmallow.
Right.
And we've come full circle.
Who munches on marshmallows?
And I'll tell you right now, this would all been preventive. Steve, would you shut the dang garage door?
That's
we don't have a skunk
right.
in there.
For once, my conscience
we're concerned
right.
about our cold pulled pork. The buns were stale. I mean, we didn't even have potato salad.
No, we didn't. I had to eat a salad.
It's 7:18. Mary, you'll keep us up to date on this story on how Steve's doing?
If I'm still married when I get
home. As far
home,
as I know,
sure.
Steve's sitting in a folding chair in his garage waiting for the skunk to try it.
With the big doob.
You just try it.
Can you imagine my neighbors? Oh, my gosh.
You'll never be take a comfortable nap in your car in the driveway
well,
again?
Yeah, for sure.
The texters, Mary Vandeveld, are chiming in now. They're concerned about Steve. They're concerned about you. But they also have some helpful information, Mary. You may want to make a note of this.
Okay.
There is a spray you can buy at Farm and Fleet or Menards that'll keep small animals away from buildings.
Oh.
Just spray it around the house and in front of the garage door. It's supposed to be good for 30 days and spray again. Now, that's written by a skunk, so I don't know if you can trust it.
What's in it?
847, I can solve Mary's skunk problem. There's a product called Repelzol. You sprinkle it around the garage outside. You could probably do it inside. Around the staircase, the skunk will not come near it. It smells like gunpowder, and it scares him away.
I think I used this for spiders on my balcony.
And there's a picture of Elmer Fudd on it?
There's a picture of a big spider on it.
Another texter from the 708 says, ammonia and the smell of citrus keeps the skunks away. So Steve should have an orange gun where he could shoot oranges at him, not marshmallows.
Well, yeah, if I put that Repelzol out, it'll smell like gunpowder. They'll think he's shooting them with a real gun.
And a 619 says, change my mind. Favorite show is now 992, laughing very hard. Thank you very much for that. And, again, we're all pulling for Steve. Steve Fudd currently sitting outside of Mary Vandeveld's house with a pellet gun.
Should have taken a picture of him.
Let's go to Jordan Goodman. Should I go right there? You got something for me.
I need a dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar.
Jordan Goodman would just buy the skunk a small apartment somewhere and have him move. Isn't that right, Jordan?
No, along with it, yes. Keep out the people.
Right. Good morning. How are you?
It's been a very volatile time, I must say. And it's just amazing what's going on. The stock market just soaring to one record high after another. Two gargantuan hurricanes and a third one. You know, Maria is just destroying Puerto Rico as we speak right now. So it's just a very strange situation. What's been interesting is the hurricanes, which you think would be a very negative thing, in a strange way, have turned into a very positive thing, because everybody's concentrating on the rebuilding instead of the destruction.
So investing in companies that would do the rebuilding, that kind of thing?
Home construction companies, actually car companies. GM and Ford are up sharply, and auto parts companies. Over 500,000 cars were lost in Texas alone, and probably a lot in Florida as well. So those are going to have to be replaced. So everybody's kind of concentrating on the replacement cycle. This is going to take years, Steve. This is not a one-year kind of thing. The amount of damage done was just staggering.
What is the offshoot of the Mexico City earthquake? Do we know yet as far as the economy goes?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a major hit to that economy. I think it was a few years ago there was a major earthquake that killed like 100,000 people. Again, it'll be a whole rebuilding process. But they had another earthquake further south, Oaxaca, I guess it was, a little while ago. That's what they've got there. They've got earthquakes, so it's not going to go away. I mean, this is in the middle of NAFTA. We've got what happened with the United Nations yesterday, and basically President Trump declaring war on North Korea, Iran, Syria, and Venezuela while we're at it. You know, so let's have some wars on top of the earthquakes.
Did President Trump's statement yesterday that, hey, look, we don't want to do it, but we may have to wipe out North Korea.
Yeah.
What did that do to the markets yesterday?
They went up because they don't think it's going to happen. I mean, if in fact some of these missiles, there's been about 20 missiles and nuclear tests now so far this year. They've all landed in the ocean somewhere, which is nice. But if they land in Japan and Korea and Guam, we retaliate immediately. They then retaliate immediately and basically throw all the missiles and artillery they have at Seoul, killing 20 million people. We then completely wipe them out. We have Third World War. The stock market drops 10,000 points in a week, something like that.
Sure.
If it actually happens. Now, right now, people are not thinking it's going to actually happen. But what I've been saying is the chance of that happening is higher than zero. I don't know how much higher. It depends on the day. But, I mean, there's some pretty itchy fingers on both sides. Every time we tighten sanctions on North Korea, they lob out more missiles. They're not getting the message very well.
Well, and you don't know if tough guy talk works until there's an answer one way or another. However, when you say you're going to wipe out North Korea, even with the limited communication that North Koreans have, some of those 35 million people are going to hear that message.
Yes.
That's not a message that makes you think you can trust America or America's here to talk, nor is it a message that you can trust us when we're talking about breaking up the Iran deal. Because if we're willing to break up a deal that's already in place, if I'm Kim Jong-un, why would I believe you're going to agree to anything I talk to you
exactly.
about?
Exactly. So that's what's been interesting is the markets know all this. And they're going up anyway. I mean, they're just not concerned.
So the markets are crazy, I think is what
we're
talking
about.
That's
one way to put it, I guess you might say. I mean, the Dow, as we speak, is up to 22,370. The NASDAQ has soared to all-time record highs. All of them are at record highs. I mean, basically, the companies that are doing well are just soaring. And a lot of those are technology companies like Microsoft, Google, and Salesforce. I think I mentioned 2 or 3 months ago, NVIDIA, does that ring a bell?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. I invested in it that day.
Well, that's now up to about 186. I think what I talked to was about 130, something like that.
No, I bought it at 37 cents, so it's been good for me.
That's good.
Jordan, I know you can't predict the volatility of the markets, but why does a phrase or a knee-jerk reaction create such volatility, especially now with this president, because we know him by now. We know he'll go on Twitter. We know he might go off prompter. Will that readjust any or at least calm some fears?
No, it doesn't calm fears at all. He's very trigger happy. I mean, he did actually have missiles go off at Syria when they did the chemical weapons, so he's shown he can actually pull the trigger. And we're ready to go. I mean, we've got nuclear submarines, we've got aircraft carriers, we got everything right there ready to go at a moment's notice here. But what's amazing is that all of these threats, and a bigger threat yesterday in front of the biggest world body ever, and the markets basically are sloughing it off, saying no. It's just not going to happen. And, I mean, if that, in fact, happens, we don't get bombs landing anywhere, I think he's going to Rocket Man, I suppose we'll call him Rocket Man now, is going to get nuclear capability, and I think we're just going to live with it. Because the consequences are too bad to actually attack him.
Yeah, I'm sure military options are being presented, but they all end the same way. They're all really bad. But this guessing game on what Trump might do or what Kim Jong-un yes. might do is a very dangerous game.
And they like to be unpredictable. Both of them do. This is the opposite of what we've always had, is like stability and predictability, and we know exactly what's going to happen. You got two gamblers on both sides with nuclear weapons. Not a good situation. But again, the markets are just not worried about these kind of things until they are. This is what in the market they call a black swan event, kind of comes out of the blue and surprises you, like Lehman Brothers going under or 9/11, you know, things, Brexit. I mean, there are things that kind of come out of the blue that you don't expect, and then the markets fall. But until that happens, I think the market's going much higher here. Today, the Federal Reserve meets, and I don't think there's any way they're going to be raising interest rates, you know, right now, based on what happened with all of this and also the hurricanes, the economic damage because of the hurricanes. But I think what the Fed is going to do today is start the process of unwinding their balance sheet. Their balance sheet went from about $600 billion in 2007. It's now $4.5 trillion. That's the money that's making the markets go up so much because of all this quantitative easing they've had over these last few years. They're going to kind of cut that back a little bit, maybe by $600 billion in the next year or so. So that's a stimulation that's been in the market that's going to start to go away starting today.
We'll come back and talk about your personal finances right after we do the big story. And, you know, there's always a hot area to begin with. You want to choose the topic?
Getting income on your money, because people are getting nothing these days. This is the biggest question I get from your listeners.
How do I make money with the money I do?
How do I earn money safely? That's correct.
All right, more with Jordan Goodman coming up. First, we'll do this and come back with the big story next. Is it this time around?
It's going to be the Mexican earthquake.
All right, next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great, big, important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Jordan Goodman standing by. MoneyAnswers.com, only website for your money you're going to need.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need money.
Let's go back to Jordan now with the question of the day, and that is, how do I make money with the money I have, Jordan Goodman?
That's right. I mean, if you keep your money in the bank, CDs, money market funds, savings accounts, you're pretty much going to earn zero. And what the Fed's going to do today is going to keep it pretty much at zero as far as the eye can see. So an alternative.
So my passbook savings account probably isn't a great idea.
No. You know for sure you're not going to make any money whatsoever on your money at all. A very safe alternative that can really help a lot of folks and has already helped a lot of your folks are what are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. You get a 6% yield over 1 year. They're lending domestically to commercial projects of various types, stores, apartment buildings, shopping centers, whatever it may be. They need the money to renovate or improve themselves. The maximum that they lend against the value of the property is 65% of the value of the property. So there's a big, what I call, equity cushion there. And it's over a short-term period, 1 year. So you get 6% for your money. You get monthly checks. There's no commissions or fees. It doesn't have any market fluctuation at all. So for that safe money that you have sitting in the CDs or money market funds earning zero, there's a way of earning 6%. And there's a website for them, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. They've also got a phone number, 888-518-3113. I get emails from your folks all the time. That, you know, they're worried about the stock market at all-time record highs, getting nothing in the bank. Long-term 10-year bonds are 2%. So there's a way of getting 6% you know, quite safely.
And how does that 6% rate get affected, whether it fluctuates you know, in one direction or another?
It doesn't. I mean, it's been that way for a long time. I mean, in theory, if interest rates went up a lot, then the borrowers would have to pay more, maybe 7% or 8%, something like that. But it's been 6% for about 5 years because short-term rates have not really changed. They've been pretty much at zero for a long, long time here. So I would assume 6% going forward. Now, if you are willing to commit your money longer, like 18 months, you can get 7%. If you go 3 years, you can actually get 9%. So it's a matter of liquidity. Do you need your money in a year or 2 years or 3 years? But all those things are at that same website, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. And it's been a godsend to a lot of your listeners, I must say, because they don't know what to do with their money. And they're just too scared about the stock market at unbelievably high record levels here.
Jordan, with everything with Equifax and whatnot, I know people are saying it frees your credit. At this point, you have to go through all three agencies. Is this a good time or bad time to check your credit?
Very good time to check your credit.
You're right now.
Because I think everything, I mean, everybody's a little skittish now. When we went on the Equifax site, it said, okay, check to see if you have been affected. Enter your name, your social, your cell phone. And we're, you know, even amongst ourselves, we're saying, do we want to put our social in online after all this had just happened?
It's already there. They know your numbers now. See, what was so bad about this Equifax hack is that they got the information you can't change. You can't change your name. You can't change your Social Security number. People think you can. You cannot. You pretty much are not going to change your address. You're not going to change your birth date, your mother's maiden name. You know, these are the things that are there forever. You can change your credit card number. But they got the basic information that they can use for identity theft for the rest of your life, basically, and the rest of all Americans' lives, 143 million Americans. So that's what's so unusual about this. I mean, if you got a hack at Target, okay, so they change your credit card numbers. It's not that big a deal. But they got the basic information you can't get rid of here. So, yes, so, I mean, they're supposedly offering credit monitoring at Equifax for free for a year. Well, that's nice. You know, you got an email. Yes, you've been hacked. You know, your bank account's just been wiped out or something. So it's kind of this big cloud hanging over people for a long time.
Well, I know there's only certain things people can offer, but that's probably the last thing you want is more services from the people that effed it up to begin with.
That's right. I mean, I've used LifeLock for a long time. I think it's a good thing because they notify you anytime that happens. If you go to LifeLock and mention Money Answers, they give you 10% off
well.
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I had a case about a year ago where I got an email at 4 in the morning. Just want to make sure that you're changing your PIN number and you want to take out $10,000 from an ATM in Las Vegas at 4 in the morning. I was like, no, I don't think that was me. And they ended up tracing it back. It was a Bulgarian mafia wing that had, you know, was kind of got people's numbers and was doing cash advances all over the place. So you never know what's going to happen.
Well,
I didn't do anything wrong, but they got my stuff anyway.
Yeah, well, same here. And somebody tried to open Cochran Plumbing in Southern California, which, you know, it's a nice place to visit, but I don't want to plumb there.
So you just never know what's going to happen. And this is really making people freak out, rightly so, because the basic information is now kind of hanging out there. And who knows who did this hack and where those... Because there's a whole kind of black web of people trading information like this, and now they got a lot more to trade.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Traffic first, and then Jordan picks the next topic. Where are we going next?
Mortgages, because mortgage rates have dropped to all-time record lows here.
All right, mortgages after this. Stand by for that, and go to moneyanswers.com for all of it. We used to tell you to get a pen and a piece of paper and write this stuff down. Now you can keep it all in your digital universe, and just go to moneyanswers.com anytime. Texter questions always coming in for Jordan Goodman. Jordan from the 630 with the commercial mortgage bridge loans. Are you able to use IRA money for that?
Absolutely. You create what's called a self-directed IRA account, and then you can take money from an existing IRA, roll it in there, and you can buy commercial bridge loans inside an IRA. And a Roth IRA where it would grow tax-free as well. That's correct.
630, we froze our credit on all three credit companies. Is that the play right now?
You can certainly do that. That means that when you apply for credit, you have to unfreeze it. But what it does is it protects you against other people trying to apply for credit. Because that's one of the big things. If somebody does ID theft, they apply for credit cards in your name, and that would prevent them from doing that. So that could be a good move.
And 219, I'd like to buy a second home. I'm 62. Rather than pay cash, I'd like to take out a mortgage for the tax benefits. I'd like to keep the difference invested and a higher rate than the mortgage. Is that a good idea? And will the bank loan me the money?
Well, they could. Yeah, it depends on your credit and so on, but assuming you have good credit. So say you're paying 4% on the mortgage, something like that, and say you're earning 6% on the bridge loans, then that's a positive arbitrage that's going to work for you in a case like that. If you keep your money in a savings account earning zero, it doesn't work. It's always what the alternative use of the money is. And speaking of mortgages, I mean, this is the golden era right now of mortgages. Mortgage rates have fallen because the long-term treasury is down to about 2.1, something like that. So that brings mortgage rates down with it. The 30-year fixed rate is now below 4%, 3.8, 3.9, something like that. The 15-year mortgage is below 3%, 2.8, thereabouts. I mean, we just haven't seen these rates in over a year, and who knows how long they're going to last here. So it really is a good time to either buy a home, just as we just talked about there, or refinance to an existing, you know, much, much lower rate. A website to help you there would be You Can Refi, youcanrefi.com. They look around the country to get you the best possible rates. And actually, there's a new thing now, which is for HEROES, And heroes are just defined as fire, police,
sure.
EMT, medical people, people working in the hurricane area. I mean, there's a whole bunch of new programs to help people who are considered heroes to actually save a ton of money.
Talk show hosts. They're all
talk show hosts are definitely heroes, I would say. And a website for that is heroescomefirst.com. And they get thousands of dollars off of closing costs and points and fees and interest rates and all kinds of different things. So heroescomefirst.com. And I think talk show hosts are definitely in that category.
Unsung heroes, right?
No, he's sung. Yeah. He's sung.
He's sung.
I should be sung more. you know, we don't in Chicago anyway, we don't see this as a buyer's market. It's more of a seller's market. So
right.
Considering how great the mortgage rates are, refis over new buys?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would agree with you. In many cases, you're competing against other people, and people are bidding over asking price because of just limited inventory, and that's going to remain that way. One of the effects of the hurricanes that people aren't thinking about is we already have a shortage of construction labor,
yep,
and we're going to have a bigger shortage now because everybody's going to move down to Texas and Florida because they're going to earn even more, and so it's going to get even harder to find people to build homes, plumbers, electricians, roof framers, all those kind of things. So to some extent, it's going to exacerbate the shortage of housing because we're not building that much new housing, and it puts a premium on existing housing. So the supply situation is going to get even tighter because of the hurricanes.
The mortgage business being what it is, can't we just put everything on a credit card and save our money that way too?
No.
But what?
You get these ideas.
What?
Yeah, I mean, credit cards are still about an average of 13%, something like that.
Well, that's the lead-in. That's the lame lead-in for Jordan to tell you the best place to get a credit card.
GuideToCreditCard.com is a free website where you get all the best deals, including the lowest in the country. And Steve knows the answer, but we got to ask Andrea, what is the state with the lowest interest credit cards anywhere in the country?
Illinois. Anywhere in America. Where'd you say?
I said Illinois.
No?
Yeah, wrong.
No, that was a joke.
Anywhere in the country. You can get a credit card anywhere in the country. A lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
Where in the country would you get the lowest rates?
Texas.
Texas Arkansas. Did.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Arkansas. Mm. And it's not close, right?
It's
Arkansas
close,
has been
correct.
Leading for years.
In proximity
correct.
To us.
Correct.
Not too far.
No, but you don't have to live in Arkansas.
Correct.
You can get them. At that guidetocreditcard.com, you can find them. So the reason is they have usury ceilings in Arkansas left over from the Depression, where they can't charge more than 5% over the prime rate. The prime rate's 4 today, so they basically can't charge more than 9. So they're charging like 6, 7, 8, something like that, long term, not a temporary one that's going to disappear on you. So you can have a card from Arkansas Federal, or there's one called Simmons or Pulaski Bank. There's a whole bunch of banks there.
Razorback Community Bank.
Hey-haw! So there's your lowest interest credit cards. So that's one way to go if you're going to be paying interest. But if you want to be getting miles or reward points, there's all kinds of other things. Concentrate on one or two cards where you're getting the rewards you want. You know, get a United Airlines one or whatever it may be. And don't have 10 different cards, and your spending is spread over all the different cards. So by the time you get rewards, they've expired. Don't do that.
But you also taught me, because I've run everything through American Express, you know, part of my money laundering. But you taught me a long time ago, you need to have a second card,
yes,
generally speaking, to show that you're a good credit risk.
Yeah, you don't want to have it all on one card.
Right.
But, you know, two or three is plenty for that. Your credit score is based on credit cards, student loans, home loans, car loans, you know, a diversity of different loans over a longer period of time. And what's most important is your most recent experience. People, I get emails from GM listeners all the time. You know, 7 years ago, I missed a car payment or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, yeah, that hurt then, but you know, what's been happening recently, that's the biggest impact on your credit score. So, yeah, it has some effect, but if you're in good shape now, that's really what's going to make your score go up. I always say your score goes up slowly by doing the right things for a long time, and it goes down quickly for doing one bad thing. So it's not fair, but that's the way it works.
If you could send people away with one thought today to make them more financially responsible, to have a better money day, what are you telling them to do?
Pay their mortgage off faster. There's a strategy called mortgage optimization, which literally can allow them to pay off a 30-year mortgage in about 5 to 7 years. A website for that, truthinequity.com. I write that up in my book, Master Your Debt, and a lot of your people have done that. I mean, it's amazing how quickly you can pay off your mortgage on your existing level of income if you know how to play the game.
Do you remember when they sang that great show-stopping song in Les Mis? Master of Your Debt, Jordan Goodman is. Remember that? That was a wonderful song.
Master of My House.
Song.
Terrific. And she's the master of the skunks over there as well, right? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Andre, I know you doubted me earlier, but yesterday, Dean will back me up on this. Yesterday when I saw Dean at Channel 9 in Lourdes.
Strolling in the halls of WGN yesterday.
Trolling or strolling?
Both.
Both.
Okay.
WGN TV.
Yes.
Yes. And Lourdes Duarte, 4 o'clock superstar anchor.
All over him like a cheap suit.
Oh.
As she comes out of the newsroom and tries to make up to me after blowing off this show since she got the 4 o'clock news. And Dean will back me up on this because I drew the line. And you could tell by the way I said to her, oh, hi, Lourdes, you look really nice. How are you? Isn't that pretty much how it went down?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when I go tough guy, I go tough guy.
I told her show some restraint, but she was just, you know, she's kind of been telling everyone she has a little crush on you. I said, you got to hold back. You got to show some restraint.
Please.
Maybe so playing over. Hard to get yesterday then.
Yeah.
Lourdes
I
or
mean
Steve?
You. Yeah.
Yeah. When Lourdes came up and said, I'm sorry, you are? I feel like I should know you. That's when I knew that things were warming between us.
You know, she is going to come into the studio and visit you.
Oh, yeah.
She
said,
at some point. Sure.
Here's what I saw when I got off. I finished my 11:20 midday entertainment report.
Or as I like to call it, dinner time.
Right.
Right.
I'm making a mad dash for the door because I'm late for a screening. And Steve is out. He's like coming into the studio as I'm leaving with our very handsome and debonair vice president and general manager, Paul Rennie.
Great guy.
Very, very.
I feel like I have to say that every time I mention him because nobody believes I like any management ever.
Hard to believe that there would be any kind of broadcast management who are, you know, decent and smart. And did I mention handsome?
Yeah.
So we're, you know, chatting in the hallway, and like every woman in the newsroom is suddenly appearing in the hallway fawning over Steve.
Oh, it's just the burden I bear.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Aaron Ivory, mm-hmm. All over Steve.
Demetrius came out and said, hey, dude, back off my woman.
Well, Conrad flirts incessantly with you all the time.
Right. Speaking of women.
Yeah.
He'll be on with us in about 25 minutes. Anyway, it's good to see you.
Likewise. Did you have a nice lunch?
Yes. Yes. Yes, we did. Went to a place around the corner. I'll plug it for no reason.
Other
than the fact it was good. No, called... Place called Pot I remember,
Belly.
I was telling Paul Rennie this. I remember when you guys used to complain because all you had was Wendy's on the corner.
Remember that? Yeah.
But you got a bunch of restaurants there now. That stretch of Western.
This is a big. This is a happening area of the Chicagoland culinary scene.
But
right
anyway,
now.
There's a
drive-through Starbucks. Pff, cannot beat that.
There's a joint around the corner. I mean, it's half mile away, probably called John's Little Neighborhood Place.
Oh yeah, on Roscoe.
Yeah, it's great.
Very lovely.
I had myself the shrimp and crab roll.
Very lovely. Many fine restaurants on Roscoe. It's called Roscoe Village, Steve.
Yes. What you said.
It sounds like a date.
I like to be the guy on Channel 11. I like to explain the nuances.
Yes.
Went to a little restaurant off the beaten path, got a crab roll.
We did some window shopping.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of that. Actually, I helped solve a lot of problems over there, and it turns out, I don't know, some people may think I'm crazy. Everybody's gone on the 10 o'clock news. It's all Skilling. Skilling's doing the whole thing.
It's all you need.
Top to bottom. So that's the kind of brain trust I am. I'm a big help.
I noticed Steve took the VIP parking also when I left.
I just rolled up to the front door and said.
I know.
Yeah, and
threw his keys at somebody. Turns out.
Right, it was Larry.
Turns out it was Larry Potash.
That's not valet.
I said, park this, young man.
Right. All the rest of us park in the parking lot. Steve pulls literally right up to the front door.
Well, it's subtle. It's a Chevy Tahoe. Who's going to notice?
No one's going to notice.
Lightning.
Yeah. The size of a small apartment building.
But anyway, you kids are fun. You Channel 9 kids are fun. By the way, might I say your security staff, Cracker Jack Bunch, I walked in, just said hello to him. They threw me on the ground and frisked me.
Yep.
That's just how they treat everybody, apparently, when they walk in.
Well, I don't know about everybody. When I show up, I request a strip search.
Oh, you do?
Every day.
I did not know that.
I've asked if that's possible. It's a nice way to start the day. I suggest trying it.
I can't wait for them to see you as you leave the building today.
I'm going out the back today.
You're going to get maced.
They're not going to see me.
All right, coming up, Jimmy Kimmel's in the news. Kim Kardashian's in the news. And by the way, I just want to warn you, Kim Kardashian's in the news with the word Chicago in this story. Mm-hmm. The Billy Bush story is getting uglier. This is a kind of a too bad turn in this. Jake Gyllenhaal is in the news, and the Billie Jean King movie, which is coming out. Did you talk to her recently?
I have a clip of her talking about living in Chicago.
All that coming up. Stand by for it. First at 8:18, let's go to Mary Vandeveld. Have you talked to Steve since you outed him for being the skunk chaser?
Yes.
And?
He is in the house now.
He's in the house now?
Yeah. No, nothing really new. He believes the skunk is still under the shed.
Where is his pellet gun?
He put it down for a little bit because he's afraid that people, now that they've heard this, are going to drive by and look for him.
Where are the marshmallows?
I don't know. I got to find them. I need them for s'mores.
That's the phrase that pays rest of the day. If I say, where are the marshmallows again, you'll be a big winner. More coming up with Dean. Let's get traffic. What do you have?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
You know, Kimmel is not the highest rated late night guy, and Letterman was only the highest rated late night guy for a while, but there are some similarities because Kimmel loved Letterman and idolized him growing up. And Kimmel, I would say, Dean, Kimmel's my favorite late night guy. The show's edgier and funnier than the other two. Even though Colbert's, you know, going off on Trump left and right, you think I'd love that. Well, I do. But the reason I bring all this up is because Kimmel's in the news in a big way this morning, right?
Well, a big way. It was actually a pretty political night on late night last night because Hillary Rodham Clinton was on with Stephen Colbert. And Jimmy Kimmel on his show, which is usually, you know, goofing around and fun. And, you know, I think he's also an exceptionally good interviewer, which you cannot say about some of the other
either one of them
late night hosts.
Right.
But last night during his monologue, it was actually the second segment, but still he did it monologue-like. He spent 7 minutes talking about the reignition of health care reform in America. And he had, if you'll remember, last May, he disclosed that his newborn son, little Billy, was born with heart defects and had to have open-heart surgery, and advocated for the non-repeal of Obamacare at that time because he said that, you know, I'm fine. I have insurance, and I'm fine. But he met a lot of families while he was going through this process with his infant son who did not have insurance to cover the kinds of things that they needed to keep their children alive. So he's been very much an advocate for that ever since then. What brought it up last night now is this new bill, which is being proposed by Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy,
yep,
who was on Kimmel's show last May when Kimmel first talked about this.
Bill looked like a really good guy at the time.
Seemed, as Kimmel said last night, seemed, you know, like very level-headed, bipartisan, and Kimmel straightforward asked him, you know, will you do this? Will you do that? Will you do that? And he was, yep. He, you know, he said that this new health care bill should include all of those things. Now, this new bill, which is being proposed by Bill Cassidy, does not include any of those things. And Jimmy Kimmel did not hold back any words talking about how he felt about this obvious turnaround. Take a listen to this.
Most of the Congress people who voted on this bill probably won't even read it. And they want us to do the same thing. They want us to treat it like an iTunes service agreement. And this guy, Bill Cassidy, just lied right to my face. Do you believe that every American, regardless of income, should be able to get regular checkups, maternity care, et cetera, all of those things that people who have health care get and need? So yep is Washington for nope, I guess. And by the way, before you post a nasty Facebook message saying I'm politicizing my son's health problems, I want you to know I am politicizing my son's health problems because I have to.
Yeah, he, you know, went into great depth about why he feels the way that he feels. He put up a number on the screen so people could contact their own representatives and express their own opinions. There's been no comment at all from Senator Cassidy's office on this, but really, really strong, serious stuff from Kimmel last night.
Kim Kardashian is coming to Chicago.
Could we be more excited about this? Could we be more excited? She's going to be. I don't know if I should put in vacation time now to be there or to avoid it.
Right. 10th year anniversary of the show, right? Well, that's also going on.
That's part of the reason of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show. But she has been invited to be part of the lineup for Chicago Ideas Week. Because Steve, as you
wait,
well
hold
know,
on a second. What?
Yeah, Chicago Ideas Week that's being put on. It's going to be a. She's going to be interviewed.
I have an idea. I totally have an idea. What's your idea, Kim? I forgot. Can you ask me later?
I have an idea too. When traveling, don't carry $1 million worth of jewelry with you.
I have an idea that these French people took my jewelry.
Excuse me, Miss Kardashian. I have a question from the audience. Where would you be keeping this jewelry if you were traveling with it?
I have millions of dollars of jewelry on me at all times, and my front door lock code is 144444 because it's hard to remember.
Steve, Chicago Ideas, she will be here as part of Chicago Ideas Week on October the 18th. It's going to be right down the street from where you are right now.
I'm sorry, my front door lock code is just one. It doesn't have any fours in it.
We can get her in studio. She can walk over.
It's hard to remember.
She's going to be at the Harris Theater.
Actually, we're going to have her boobs in. We're going to interview her boobs because they come separately.
And in a very interesting simulcast while Steve is talking to her boobs here on the northwest side of Chicago, we'll be talking to her butt.
Yeah, don't leave that behind.
Got all everything covered, huh? Both between the two of you.
She will be discussing the success and impact of her brand, Steve.
Are you sure it's her brand or is it her boobs and her butt? You know, when my mom first put out the porn tape, I thought that's probably not what most moms do, but it worked out really well.
Again, from the audience, I have a question.
Yes, Frenchie, yes?
I am wondering... I did not get your security code. I was not...
It's one, but we might change it to two. So try either one of those. And remember, I have all the jewelry on me at all times.
We do not know if Kanye West will be joining her when she visits his hometown.
I'm thinking about naming our next baby Eiffel or Tower. What do you think? By the way, doesn't it sound exactly like Kim Kardashian?
It does.
Right? Yeah, it's like I'm channeling.
And we sound just like French people when we do our voice, too.
Well, here's a sad story. Billy Bush and his wife have been married for 20 years, and now it's over?
Well, they're in what's being called a short-term break. That's never good.
That's not... No. A short-term break is I'm vacationing without you because you don't like to play golf. You don't take a short-term break unless there's trouble.
This is they're not living together anymore after 20 years, but Billy Bush's lawyer says it's a short-term break. All of this after being fired from the Today Show last year.
And really not getting work, right? I mean, nobody's hired again.
No, he came out and, you know, and tried to do some interviews about, well, here's my side of the whole story regarding the Donald Trump groping tape
that grabbing the pee
that came out. Okay. But yeah, that's been it. And interestingly, after that, Billy Bush can't even get a job doing what I do basically, and Donald Trump became president as a result of it.
He's like the Monica Lewinsky of this story, right? The president gets to go on and you get to suffer the consequences.
Very, very strange. And you know, they have three kids, so you know, I don't, you know, it's
tough.
It's tough on the kids.
No, it's very tough.
It's tough on everybody, but it's especially tough on the kids.
Yeah, so we wish him the best because, sure, you can be an idiot, but now this continues to linger. So the summation there is simple. It's Donald Trump's not just destroying America, he's destroying marriages.
Yeah, well.
He's got some experience in that area.
I want to play a couple of pieces of quick tape.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Before we run out of time, because, first of all, it's going to be a busy weekend this coming Friday with movies opening up. One of the movies is called Stronger, and it's the real story, the true story of a guy named Jeff Bauman, who was kind of this knucklehead, irresponsible guy living in Boston, He was trying to go out with this one woman, but because of his irresponsibility, she kept breaking up with him. So he was trying to show her how much he cares and how responsible he is by showing up at the finish line of the Boston Marathon 3 years ago that she was running in. He winds up being right next to the bombers and lost both of his legs. He became a double amputee. This Jeff Bauman's an amazing guy, and this movie is about what he went through, both physically and emotionally. It's a really great movie. But I sat down and talked with both of them at the Toronto Film Festival recently, and Jeff Bauman is up first. And this guy just has a killer sense of humor.
Right.
What is this like for you, in this kind of crazy showbiz fast lane you're
exactly.
suddenly thrown
like,
into?
You know, I'm getting, like, I got the makeup going, and I'm, you know, going through it, and I'm just going
It's all pretty
it.
Stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not buying it. I just, I'm looking forward to going home and, you know, sitting on my couch and playing with my dog.
We made this movie for another reason. We made this movie because people are struggling. We're all struggling. You know, I think that each one of us can be touched by his story, by knowing that even in the day, little things that feel like, oh no, I'm not gonna be able to get past that moment. You know, I feel like I'm falling. I won't get up, or I can't get through that moment. You know, if you see his story, you feel like I can.
Yeah, so you know, it's really a don't sweat the small stuff kind of story, but a really inspiring, amazing performance by Gyllenhaal. You know, bring some Kleenex with you because it's a real touching movie. The other real life movie that's opening on Friday is Battle of the Sexes, the battle between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King, that famous tennis match. Can a woman beat a man in tennis? Which, by the way, was 44 years ago today.
Is that right?
Yeah, today's the anniversary for
that. The Houston Astrodome, the old Astrodome.
Talked with the real-life Billie Jean King, who we learned lived here in Chicago for 12 years.
I didn't know that.
What brought you to Chicago, of all the places could spend winters?
World Team Tennis, we had our national headquarters there for 12 years. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
The only reason we left again is the sponsor wanted us to be in New York. Otherwise, might still be there.
Yeah,
who knows?
But you still have a place in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I love Chicago. It's never enough for me to be there.
I would imagine it's difficult for you to walk down Michigan Avenue because you're so identifiable and everybody wants to tell you how much you inspired them and tell their story of what you meant to them.
Sometimes they'll even ask me, are you here for a tournament? Like not to play. Not my age, but people are very good to me. I've been very, very blessed in my career and with this Battle of the Sexes, it's just over the top.
Yeah, really, real sweetheart, Billie Jean King.
Well, it's very nice. How old is she?
She is, I looked it up the other day, I want to say 74.
You got it?
73.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. She looks great. She's got some red glasses.
What a great interview, Dean.
I love her glasses.
I want to get some red glasses.
If it makes her feel any better, she could beat me. But then again, she could beat me at 83. Steve, do you have knees? Not currently. No, I don't, actually. All right, bud. Thanks.
See you.
That's Dean Richards. Back with more in a moment. And the big story next on 720 WGN. Live from Channel 9. It's our friend Paul Conrad. Been too long, my friend.
It has been too long.
How
are
you,
my friend?
How you doing?
I'm good.
You know, I was in your building yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look great?
It's like the new studio is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I walked in, and the lighting's incredible. Steve Sanders looked about 14 years old.
Right. I really was thinking, what do you think of the rest of the building? How just sharp and clean and shiny?
Yes, all of those things. Sharp and clean and shiny.
Yeah.
So, but I wandered around quite a bit, and I left an envelope with cash in it on your desk. Did you get it?
No, you know what happened to it, I bet. Skilling likes to buy everybody dinner around here, and I bet he blew it on the interns.
Oh, boy. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said that about me, I bet you blew it on the interns. Well, how have you been? Are you all right?
I am good. I am feeling like I'm at the top of my game.
Well, then, could you update us on what's going on in Puerto Rico?
Sure. The center of the storm is about 20, 25 miles west, southwest of San Juan.
Okay.
Maximum winds, 145 miles per hour.
That's pretty intense.
The track on it is picked up, tracking now northwest at about 13 miles per hour, which is an uptick from the 10 miles per hour at 8 o'clock this morning.
They're going to be in this for up to 8 hours, I've heard.
Yeah, you know, I think they're going to, yeah, at least another, I'd say another 5 hours of hurricane force winds, and heads out over the water here this afternoon.
Well, it's bad news, obviously.
It is bad news. Yeah, I've seen some video already, and it's a mess.
Now, do we know the track of the storm at this point? Looks like it's going to miss the Virgin Islands and some of the other places that were under the gun.
Yeah, the Bahamas certainly look to be spared, and it looks the cone on it keeps it well away from the mainland United States. So, really, I think today and potentially tomorrow are the biggest days of trouble with it, and then from there it goes out over the waters.
Am I remembering this right? Didn't we have a pretty easy hurricane season last year?
Yeah. It's been actually a while since we had some of these big Category 3 storms come ashore in the United States. But, yeah, we have been stringing them up here. Big ones in the last month
pretty
or so.
Nutty.
Yeah.
I don't remember, as you know, growing up, all the names of the storms. When did I'm sure we've always named them, haven't we?
Started with Paul. Paul had the original idea to name the storms.
Like the apostle, yeah.
Came up with the idea. I was just sitting around playing cards. And I thought, you know, we should give some names to hurricanes.
Well, you're not just another pretty face.
You're right.
You know, I mean,
there's a lot going on inside.
Yeah, I always tell people all the time, and I know you do as well, Paul, hey, my eyes are up here.
Yeah, you know, and that's a challenge with the world we live in today, because it's so easy for us men to become objectified.
Yep.
You know, they look at us and like automatic, I get a lot. I deal with a lot of people who lust after me.
I have the same problem.
Sorry, who does this?
A lot.
I have the same problem.
I've got a running list in the office here. And it's problematic.
Listen, I'm a full A cup, but that's not all of me. That's
You're way
not my
more
whole
than that.
Story.
Yeah. You've got feelings inside. Yeah. You've got things you want to say. You've got a song in your heart.
I do. All of those things.
You got a lot of going on there, so it's understandable.
And it wasn't that long ago when Paul was on the old afternoon show, prior to me being fired when I left because it seemed like the right thing to do.
Right.
But Paul mentioned at that time that he didn't trust horses, and we all thought Paul was crazy.
Yeah.
I checked this morning because there was a story. I was thinking about you the other day.
All right, yeah.
There was a story about not trusting horses.
Yeah.
About horses being shifty.
They are shifty.
And I thought, well, this proves Paul's point, and it's been years in the making. And I Googled, I don't trust horses, and 55 million Google results came up.
Whoa.
And how many of them were from me?
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them.
They have pulled the fast one on us as Americans, and I don't know what's going on in other parts of the world, but they are standing around and really not contributing to society. There's a handful of them that are contributing, but a lot of them, every time I'm in the car, you drive around.
Get a job, horse.
You see them standing out there, living high on the hog, not contributing. They used to contribute.
Get a job.
They used to be plowing fields.
Not anymore.
Doing backyard, birthday parties.
Got some handsome cab horsies pulling them down the street here. They're working.
Yeah. You There's got a the handful that are working. Louisville, the great majority, though, taking up a lot of space and not contributing. And I think there's something better that they could be doing, whether we put them on treadmills where they feel like they've got more value and then we get them to generate energy or something. But there's more that they can be doing than standing around.
What about the Clydesdales?
Yeah, exactly. They're showing up in commercials, at least, and they do a fair amount of parades.
They're working.
You consider that work?
Oh, believe me.
It's barely work. I hope there's some kind of shame going on within that whole community.
The horse community?
Yeah.
They're all naysayers.
I know you got.
Come on.
All right, I got to leave.
You're all thinking it.
I feel the same way.
Give me.
Hey, before you go, because I know you got to get back to whatever that thing is you do on TV. We'll be on CLTV here in a few minutes.
Oh, good. I love when you're on there, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I think it's the best shot of the back of my head you can get anywhere.
It is really one of the better ones I've seen.
All right. Now, Andre has an important question, though, because I saw the new set yesterday.
Yeah.
Paul Rennie, your hotshot general manager. Yeah. Couldn't be a better guy. We like him.
He's a nice guy.
We like him.
It's gotten hard to work with nice people lately.
Yeah, and Paul was showing me the new set. It's terrific.
But and I was commenting how everybody looks younger. But Andrea made an interesting observation. And yes. Your question was?
Paul, Ben and Lourdes kind of color matching lately. Jackie and Taman with the purple over the weekend.
Yeah.
Are you all making an effort, you and Rob and Larry, to dress like you text in the
morning? If you knew how little
morning?
We actually communicated once the show was over.
So you and Tom Asulo aren't, you know,
no, we're not,
color coordinating ties.
Or, no.
They don't even have each other's cell numbers.
Yeah. It's pretty much what you see is what you get. It's a nice idea, and if there was a little bit more fellowship, you know, after the show, maybe. But
they have a meeting after the show, and at 10:30, nobody talks.
Right.
Just walk to your car. Don't look at anyone.
Right. We've all run out of conversation, and it happened about 15 years ago, so even the small talk is gone.
Oh. All right, well, keep us up to date if we get any good news on Ana Balavel's parents. We're worried about them in Puerto Rico this morning.
And I appreciate you joining my campaign on the horses.
I'm
and if they're
you.
Listening right now, listen, I love you inherently, but you're becoming lazy, you're on the dole.
You're getting away with murder.
You're getting away with murder, and you deserve more for yourself. You should expect more of yourself also.
It's a horse pep talk.
I don't mean, you know, I'm not shaming you. But
no, you
I'm
keep
telling
going.
You,
you keep going. You just
more
keep going.
In you.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I had some athletes last year that wanted to take a knee, and I told them they couldn't. And it wasn't that I don't want you to not protest, but I want you to know what you're doing. And at this point in your life, I think it's more important that you study, that you read the history of your forefathers, your ancestors who were committed to the cause. Become more mindful and more cultivated in what it is that you're about to speak about so that when you open your mouth, you know what you're committed to and you know that there's a consequence to everything that you might say.
That's Greg Hodges. And for those of you, by the way, hi to everybody on SEAL TV again and on 720 WGN. That's Greg Hodges. And for those of you who don't remember Craig Hodges, Mark Carman's here and Dave Ennett can explain as well. Who he is, who he was, and who he is now. Before we do a blatant plug for something you've just put together that I think people should see. So who was Craig Hodges?
So Craig,
and hi, Mark. How are you?
Oh, hi, Steve. How are you? Great to thank you for having me. So Craig Hodges was a guy who grew up locally, went to Rich East High School, and was recruited at one point by Northwestern, but ended up going out west, Long Beach State, and then... you know, he played for the Bucks in the early 80s, actually was on a team that beat Michael Jordan and the Bulls, Jordan's rookie year.
Okay.
And then he was traded to the Bulls in the late 80s and was their three-point specialist off the bench, backing up Michael, playing alongside Michael, and won the NBA three-point shootout in 90, 91, and 92, and was on the Bulls' first two championship teams.
Did you cover him back then, Dave?
A little bit. He was sort of the Vinnie Johnson, when you say, of the Bulls. The guy could come in and hit that big three-point shot.
Bulls would be down. They'd space the floor. Michael would be in the middle. They'd put Pax in one corner, Hodges in the other.
Somebody doubles up. You kick it out to him, and he hits it.
Bang. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Hit 19 threes in a row in the NBA three-point shootout. That is still the record.
Yeah, me too.
I saw that at Northwestern, Steve. You were right.
Yeah. Well, maybe not my best night. Could have been the drapery I was wearing. Yeah. But who is he now?
So Craig is now the head basketball coach at Rich East where he played. And Craig went to the White House with the Bulls in 91. And he wore a white dashiki African robe. Craig's practicing Muslim. And he gave President George H.W. Bush at the time, he gave his press secretary a letter talking about what was going on in the African-American community. That period in time, that was when the Gulf War was going on. There was a ton of homicides in Chicago as well, and it was on his heart, and he was raised in a family that spoke about a lot of civic pride and social issues.
And he was
issues.
Taking an opportunity to have – he had the platform. He was taking an opportunity to express a viewpoint.
Right, and he didn't make – it wasn't like a big deal.
But what happened when he came back?
Well, so he was under contract for the next year, but after the 92 season, still an NBA three-point champion and now a back-to-back NBA champion. The Bulls released him, which was fine, right? I don't think there's a story there, but then no other team in the league called him, not even for a tryout.
Historical tie to today, is he or is he not the Colin Kaepernick story? So you spent some time putting together a piece which appears on Fansided, right?
Yeah.
So when I go to fansided.com, where do I find your piece?
You know, I recommend you do it the easy way, Steve, which is just, you know, you go to the old @TheCarm Twitter, and I have a pinned tweet there. It's up front.
Okay, I was giving you an opportunity to plug Fansided.
Well, fansided.com is a phenomenal website and where I work during the week, and I can't tell you exactly where on the website it is, so that's why I was giving you that direction.
All right, so go to your Twitter feed and the handle again as well?
@TheCarm.
@TheCarm, C-A-R-M.
Yeah.
So we know the Colin Kaepernick story. You now know the Craig Hodges story if you'd forgotten it. Dave, is he Craig? Is Craig Hodges? It's like an SAT question. Is Craig Hodges equal to Colin Kaepernick? Is it the same story?
I think there are some obvious similarities. I'm not sure it's the same, though, because I'm not sure that it was a situation, like Mark said, it wasn't as big a deal, I don't think. It wasn't without social media back then. You know, it was different. I mean, there wasn't as much attention paid to it as there is today.
Yeah, but don't you think it's based on the anthem? The fact that you disrespect the anthem and therefore disrespect the flag. I think that's why this Kaepernick thing has blown up to the level it's blown up.
Well, right. I mean,
but the point is, if Craig Hodges had done the same thing,
you still think it would have been a
smaller
story?
I don't think it would have gotten the attention that it's gotten today because everything
is online so
gets
quickly.
Facebook, it's out there. And
well, that's a good point, because we would have to notify each other about our outrage by fax.
Right, by Raven.
And that would have taken forever.
Yeah.
What did you find in doing the piece?
Well, here's what I found. I'm not comparing it at all identically, just what Dave's saying as far as, I mean, Kaepernick's trying to make a statement, and he did it in as public a way as possible to get as much attention as possible. And, you know, Kaepernick's also donated now $900,000 of $1 million. I mean, Craig wasn't doing anything like that. He just wanted to get his message in his corner delivered. What I did find out, which was interesting to me, I talked to, you know, B.J. Armstrong, who was one of the guards on that team, and Bill Cartwright, who was very well respected. They called him Teach back then, and Sam Smith, who wrote the Jordan Rules, and Horace Grant. Hodges was one of the most well-respected guys in there. Any social issue, they'd go to him. Craig, what do you think about this? Craig, what do you think about the Gulf War? Craig, I mean, he was, and Michael at the time, like, they hadn't gotten over the hump yet. They hadn't won a championship. So Jordan is, you know, one time in the locker room, he's saying things like, I can't believe I got to play with these busters. And Craig calls him out and says, who are you, you know, with some profanity, who are you talking about? Who exactly? So he was a guy that, you know, he didn't play a ton of minutes. He's probably, you know, played maybe 15 minutes a night. But he had a lot of respect in that locker room. It's just good to hear, like, how much he resonated with everybody.
And a stand-up guy now.
Yeah, huge. I mean, his players asked him they wanted to take a knee last year for Kaepernick and for their coach. He told them, no, you need to become more cultivated, learn what you're talking about. I just found that to be...
I think it's cool that they asked their coach.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he also had to sell off his championship rings, didn't have money to put food on the table, that type of stuff. And the way he owned it, as far as, you know, I wasn't angry at the NBA. It wasn't some big statement. I'd love to have him now.
Right. I lived my life. I spent my money, and then I had to pay for it.
Right. But, you know, that's not the whole thing, you know, being a part of the team. And
you know, my continuing issue with Colin Kaepernick is not his expression. He's got a right to express it any way he wants. And certainly paying the money that he's paid is a nice gesture. And he doesn't have to give away a dime. He chose to. I don't know what the message is. If the message is black folks in this country are not treated equally to white folks and black folks need more help than they're getting, okay, give me some specifics. Right. I mean, there's no question that there are underprivileged people of color in every major city in America. A lot of poor white folks, too. I just am not sure what the continued statement involving kneeling during the anthem shows, other than to a lot of people, and this is the part that bothered me too, to a lot of closet racists, you know, who can now go, well, see, that's what they do.
Right.
You're not going to change a closet racist. I just think there needs to be there needs to be a more fine-tuned focus on this is the message, this is the foundation, this is the website, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, those are all, I think, extremely fair points. He's put it out there, whatever, he's, you know, getting attention out there, but... You know, how he wants people to respond hasn't been communicated. I think that's fair. I think he had, you know, maybe 50% of it thought through. And
I think that's fair.
You know, the rest of it is just kind of, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
And there's going to be a portion of the country he's going to lose all the time, and this includes people of color who had loved ones die fighting for the flag, who, when you take a knee during the anthem, are going to see that as an insult to America and an insult to the memories and the sacrifice made by their families and their loved ones. So I think the kneeling is enough. No more kneeling. Now take the platform you have, go out. But part two of the story is he being blackballed by the sport, right?
Yeah, and he said that if some team was to sign him this year, he wouldn't kneel. So that part is over. Okay. So is he being blackballed? I don't personally believe that there has been some meeting or phone call, whatever, where everybody got together and said, let's blackball this guy. I do believe that each individual team is making the same exact decision, that this is the 23rd to 32nd best quarterback, and he probably doesn't impact how much we win all that much, and so he's not worth the trouble.
Do you agree, Jeff?
Yeah, because I think history has shown us it takes an awful lot for an NFL team to decide if they believe you can help them, that they won't take you for other reasons. I mean, we've seen guys involved in domestic abuse cases, right? I mean,
you look at Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. Well, he doesn't appear to have learned anything, but he's a great running back, and the Cowboys are continuing to make excuses for him.
Well, and that's my point. I think if a team felt that they need Colin Kaepernick, he can help them, they're not going to not bring him in because of this.
Right. Don't you think there's something underlying, though? I know you said, Mark, there's not a team meetings or anything like that, but there's something underlying. The patriotism is so strong in this country right now. We just had the 16th anniversary of 9/11, that there's something kind of in the backs of the owners' minds, like, you know what, I just don't want this drama.
I completely. I think, you know, these owners are all multi-billionaires. Steve Bisciotti of the Baltimore Ravens, who thought about signing Kaepernick, is worth $3.7 billion. So he,
yeah, Dave,
and,
too.
And, right. So Dave's got a little bit more dollars, from what I've learned lately. Okay, but so he asked Ravens fans to pray for him about the decision because, you know, they are getting calls and letters and emails and everything else about, hey, you signed this guy, I'm never coming to your game again.
Right.
And my contention would be, listen, if you lose a sponsor or lose some fans, you actually might be able to gain more by having him, and saying that what he's doing actually, by a lot of people's account, is very American, and he could work to cultivate his message a little bit better. You know, it's part of standing up for what you believe in. Is that not part of this country? You know, so
Texter, for you guys, would Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf be a better comparison?
I think that is a better comparison. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was way more out there. Craig Hodges wasn't kneeling. He wasn't. He wasn't sitting. He just wasn't putting his hands in front of his face like Mahmoud was when he was, because they told him you have to stand. So then so that was way more out there. I think that's way more in line with it, but not as local and not as much on my heart. So we didn't.
Right.
I tried to get Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in that piece for 3 months.
And you wouldn't agree to it?
It wasn't him. I think it was just
his people are at this point.
I don't need to go through all that. But I think he was willing to talk. I just didn't have the right connections to get it done.
Kaepernick, and I agree with what Dave was saying, and you know what we're all saying to some extent, and that is, what's good for business? And Colin Kaepernick is not good enough for business for a team to take that run on him right now.
And that's, I think, a very bottom line way of looking at it.
As Tom Brady, we're kneeling. Tom Brady play every game.
No question.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg Hardy, there's just a million guys. Greg Hardy threw his girlfriend down on a pile of guns. Here you go. Jerry Jones is signing him. The Cowboys, Kaepernick's a perfect fit for the Cowboys. As a backup, they don't have a backup quarterback.
I'm not sure Kaepernick's not a perfect fit for the Bears,
right.
but nobody's making the move.
Right.
And by the way, we don't see this ending anytime soon, do we, Dave? I mean, every team has had their look.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless you get like a team but they're one and two both get hurt, I suppose.
I mean, I would suspect that he'll be somewhere next year back in the NFL. I mean, he's still a young enough guy. I mean, it's not old.
That's a great point. Is he even 30?
He's 29.
Yeah. So
he should be just now getting to his prime.
Right.
Josh McCown is 30. I mean, look at Cutler. Jay Cutler was well considered a bad teammate, had many run-ins, was on a boat drinking.
Standing on a deck naked.
Yeah. Saying that.
Wife taking pictures of his butt.
They asked him, are you in shape? I don't need to be in shape. I'm a quarterback. And 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year. Kaepernick had 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Cutler's got a job. I mean, what that tells you something.
Yep. Yep.
Now, there was an Adam Gase connection there, too, but it's still –
I get what you're saying. Right,
but that's right. The point. If a team – if their quarterback goes down to the first practice at training camp, all of a sudden, and you have a guy out there who's took a team to the Super Bowl, I mean, all of a sudden, there's a little more interest.
Right. But there's some bad quarterbacks in the league right now. I mean, Josh McCown is still going. He's 1-18 in his last 19 starts.
We're hoping our starting guy is not one of them.
He's awful.
Give him time. He's got another game to be awful. Mark Carmen, nice job by you. Fansided.com, but you can go to your Twitter feed again, which is?
At the Carm.
At the C-A-R-M, and you can get a link to the story there.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet, man. 925, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Texters now from the 262, quit playing the national anthem. No need for it at sporting events. Couldn't disagree more. I think it's one of the great pieces of sports in this country.
Oh, I agree.
Can you imagine a Blackhawks game without Cornelison singing the anthem?
No.
No.
Don't even start it. Don't drop the puck.
And baseball, too.
And some of the great patriotic moments in our history have come with anthems at games. You remember when W threw out the first pitch in the game after 9/11, mm-hmm. the anthem that led up to that.
Yeah.
Teams that Kaepernick can go to are limited because the offense need to be built around him. Not many teams have that offense because he's a scrambler, runner, that type of situation.
Yeah, he was, you know, more of a, one of these zone read type quarterbacks, and there aren't a lot of teams that run that in the NFL. And look, I mean, I'm not sure that teams don't adapt to other players. I mean, teams can adapt what they do, but it's hard to do that mid-season.
Yeah, that's a good point. 773, the conversation about Colin Kaepernick is painful. A studio of white people discussing what's right and wrong about what he's doing, calling a few black men to weigh in. I don't know if you're black or white, Texter, but why do we need black people to discuss an issue like this? Why do we need white people to discuss an issue like this? Why are you, Texter, putting the labels on the issue?
Right. This is.
I didn't say Colin Kaepernick's having a problem because he's a black quarterback that's kneeling.
Right.
And I don't remember anybody saying what he was doing was wrong or right, but I do think that there is the feeling that that is his right to do what he wants to do.
Plus,
but it may be having an effect on his ability to come back and play in the National Football League.
Right.
It's a bad personal business decision issue.
Exactly.
It's a patriotic issue.
818, there are wife beaters and murderers currently playing in the NFL. As far as respecting the flag and the anthem, half the time the NFL doesn't even show the anthem because of the money-making commercials. Not wrong about that? No.
No.
Text is absolutely true. 815, the skinny on the subject is you don't peddle your wares on someone else's lawn. 224, the world is going to end Saturday, so who cares? I don't know if you heard, but the world's ending Saturday. It's the end of days, yeah. So I got some golf I got to play on Saturday, but that's a good way to go.
Do it
out
in the morning.
Yeah.
That way, but get it in before the world ends.
And do we know what time? Was there a scheduled time for the world ending?
It was supposed to be in the afternoon.
Any time on Saturday? All right, well, I'll try to get it in before done. How annoying would that be if I got a good round going, I'm on the 16th tee and the world ends?
A perfect time to end it.
Oh, it could probably be your, if it's your best round ever, you'll save a couple strokes.
True.
The golf gods don't want me to play the best round ever. I once opened a round with 4 straight birdies, and thunder and lightning came out of nowhere. I felt like the preacher in Caddyshack.
Yeah.
9:31, big story next, 7:20.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Something just makes you happy, doesn't it, when you hear Orion Samuelson say Wang Dang Doodle?
Commissioner Emeritus.
That's it. We are live.
I'm like the acting commissioner.
You're acting like a commissioner. Yes. No, you're the commissioner. You're the commissioner.
Orion was just referred to as commissioner.
Well, he is Commissioner Emeritus. He is the all-time commissioner.
But Mary, right now, you are the main commissioner.
Why are you sucking up?
Because she's afraid of Mary.
Because she's the scorekeeper. And she's super cool.
Oh, brother.
Hey, I like Mary. Okay. All you people say
listen,
what you want.
We all like Mary, but that doesn't mean you have to crumble every time she makes a point.
You, Dave.
And please say that you're talking about Mary Sandberg.
Oh, yeah, Sandberg.
Thank oh, you. Yeah, I don't crumble when
I was just in here yelling at people about where they sit in their chairs.
I don't think
so.
Yelling.
Were you yelling?
Where are they sitting their
I
chairs?
I strongly suggest.
She was firm. She was
we're on the CLTV hour right now, words. And there's some placement with the directors there where they want people in chairs in certain spots in the studio. And
which I, one of the CLTV directors is most crazy?
Well, oh.
why are they playing musical chairs down there?
Sometimes.
No, they get frustrated because we have an empty chair, and an empty chair looks silly on TV. That's a, I mean, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely fair point.
So I came in and lowered the boom.
Right. But we should thank those guys, for real.
Better put some teddy bears or blow-up dolls or something in those chairs when they're empty.
That was out loud, Steve.
Oh, was it really?
I thought that was inside your head. That was actually out
sorry
loud.
Sorry about that.
Who are the TV folks at CLTV we should thank again? Because we don't
Fawn,
do it often.
Fawn Evans.
Oh, we love Fawn.
Uh-huh. Megan McBride.
Uh-huh.
Love Megan.
Somebody with an email that's LT.
Large
oh,
LJ? Taylor.
Is it LJ?
Yeah,
LJ?
Yeah,
Jamie Lawrence fills Taylor. In sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Jamie sometimes.
Okay. Love CLTV.
And is Fawn the one that yelled at you, which is why you yelled at us?
Fawn is the one that keeps me in line, which okay. means I'm—that's who I'm keeping you guys in
Fawn
line.
Is,
for
Fawn
is.
This is all. Look at the camera. Okay, Fawn, woo-hoo. We get it. Stop
Wait,
yelling.
Here, this will put things in perspective. Fawn is the Mary Sandberg Boyle Comcast Sportsnet of CLTV.
Ah.
Very together, very yeah. organized, very firm,
very direct.
Yes.
Oh, so we're afraid of her too?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
this would be like when two
her.
Hurricanes meet in the Atlantic and form into one.
Yeah, like Fawn and Mary.
All right, so last week's Wang Dang Doodle, the new system this year is clean, it's efficient. Mm-hmm. We all pick one game, we pick a score. The closest differential to the score is a winner. Who, from worst to first last week, what were the standings like?
So worst was our celebrity picker, Kevin Powell. He picked the wrong team, and he his score was way off, so he's in fifth place.
Okay.
Wow. Isn't he a sports analyst now?
Yes, he is.
He
so,
is,
yeah,
so yeah. In fourth place, we've got... the Marys, Mary Vandeveld and Mike Jacobson,
yes.
or Mary's self-conscious.
I like how you're one of the Marys.
What? Wait, I think we won our game.
Actually,
though.
With all the weddings you've gone to, I'm not surprised that you've turned into one
you
of the Marys.
You picked the right winner, but your score differential was large.
You
13.
Know, that's ridiculous. If you pick the right winner, you
Wait,
should
get
big
Wait, is that Mary
points.
Or Mike?
Wait, is that the conscience? Wait.
It's the real me.
What does the conscience have to say?
I mean, how does this scoring work?
But
because
seriously.
I can't figure it out. Me and Steve were sitting there right after our pulled pork sandwiches and
shooting
skunks out with marshmallows in our garage. And I says, hun, I don't get this ruling.
I don't understand. I don't understand why this is hard to figure out.
All right, now
if I say
just,
it's
if you
three
win,
to two and it's 2-1, that's two different. Difference yeah. of two. That's
but
two.
But you shouldn't get punished if you pick the right team.
No, no.
Who
no.
cares about the point
Let's get
differential?
To the
anyway,
part of the.
I mean, a win is a win.
Yeah, it's right.
All right. So, okay.
thank you.
Steve
so.
Is a win a win. Answer
Steve.
Me.
Steve can't hear you. He's shooting skunks.
All right,
Next.
So in third place, our news department, Andrea Darlis and Steve Grzanich.
That's okay.
Yeah,
solid
I had
third.
The number one hand ready,
See,
though,
look,
just
Steve's,
in case.
We're okay. getting it ready, Steve.
We're getting it ready.
And, you're number three.
Do you have Dave Ennett's partner on the phone? He's on the phone.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Oh, okay, well, let's go there now. Let's go to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm calling from Utah, the inebriated liquid cow.
Yeah.
This is, of course, John DeCoste. And, John, you and Dave picked last week. And by that, I mean Dave picked last week.
Yes.
And how did Dave do for John?
And Steve Cochran and listener Bill from Naperville, there's a tie for first place.
Oh.
So
well.
Cochran and Bill and Dave and John are tied for first.
We should probably go to a coin flip. Does anyone have a coin?
No, but that makes us second, Grzanich. Woo-woo! Get that finger out.
No, actually,
no. No, it doesn't.
No,
makes
no
you
if you're in a
third.
Golf tournament
yeah,
and you're
still be third.
Two guys tied for the lead.
We're number one in positive third. Attitude.
There you go. Now you can have it.
Really?
Pass that. That's right.
John, any thoughts on this?
Yes, and let me just get this out of the way. Dave Ennett, you are welcome.
Yeah. John, do your shoulders hurt?
John, you
from
know
this
we won last week. You know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. what I'm saying. You're welcome.
John, do you remember what you did last week when the picks were made?
I don't know where I'm at now, Steve.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for the phone call. John will join us live, I believe, on Friday. All right, so we will make our new picks tomorrow, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what time yet.
Do you know what celebrity will be on tomorrow?
It's going to be your mother.
but I haven't. I can't schedule her the time because I'm working some other things out.
She's on another show.
Yeah,
right. She's doing Steve
Eric
Harvey's
and Steve's
show.
Mom.
So do
she
we
was
have
so upset when Steve Harvey moved to L.A. because now she's got to commute.
Do we have cumulative standings?
There's no cumulative. We are going to tally the most first place, the most second, the most third, the most fourth, and most fifth, and then we'll have a winner at the
sure,
end.
Sure, there you go. Yeah. Did you hear about the mix decision? You know, that Kathy left the mm-hmm. Eric and Kathy show? Mm-hmm. It's Eric and Steve's mom now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. She's working with Eric now.
She's like her decoy.
I would like to have been in the meeting where they
pitched Eric's,
that.
Eric Steve's. Eric Steve's mom and the whipping boy, or whatever the kid's name is.
Does she say to him, "You're welcome"?
Yeah, I think so. By the way, is the whipping, isn't the whipping, I don't know who the whipping boy is. Is that Brian?
Yes.
Brian Prouk.
Isn't he like 45 or something? I mean, at what point are you no longer the whipping boy and do you become the whipping man?
I think he's dropped boy, kind of like who's that Snoop Dogg? The little Bow Wow became just Bow Wow.
Okay, so right. whipping boy
just
is just whip. Whipping?
Just whip.
Oh, he's whip.
Yes, whip.
Yeah. Whip.
Like
whip.
Puff Daddy became Puffy and then Diddy. And
whip. Like at some point, does Man Cow Muller walk around and go, seriously, I'm a grown man and I'm calling myself Man Cow? Come on.
Do we emphasize the whip?
Oh, that's between him and the whip.
Whip.
Look, God bless them all. I love everybody. It's 9:52. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. 20 WGN.